Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Tuesday, August the 14th, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 95, the second paragraph, if he is not interested in your solution, through three paragraphs ending with let it go at that, and we will be commenting on all three paragraphs. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Matt M., 12 Traditions, Susan R., and readers of the text, John K., Cherry K.B., and Robin P. The reference numbers for Monday, August the 13th, the 10 a.m. meeting, 11783, and Tuesday, August 14th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 11785. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Matt M. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, can you hear me, Lynn?
Yes, thank you, Matt.
Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M., a compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps that's adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admit it, we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves to restore sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being who thinks that nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so and injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought their prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps to try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt M. And 12 Traditions, Susan R.
Hi, good morning. This is Susan R., recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 Traditions, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Susan R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our story of the Big Book on page 95, the second paragraph, if he is not interested in your solution, reading three paragraphs ending with let it go at that and commenting on all. And John Kay, can you get us started, please?
I sure can, Lynn. Thank you. I'm John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. If he is not interested in your solution, if he expects you to act only as a banker for his financial difficulties or as a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. This he may do after he gets hurt some more. If he is sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read this book in the interval. After doing that, he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. He should not be pushed or prodded by you, his wife, or his friends. If he is to find God, the desire must come from within. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way, or if he prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. We have no monopoly on God. We merely have an approach that worked with us, but point out that we alcoholics have much in common and that you would like, in any case, to be friendly. Let it go at that. Hear, hear. I know when I first came in to my first program, they actually did 12-step workshops on how to do 12-stepping, and I got taught, carry the message, not the person. That's so important to me to remember. I'm here to carry a message, and it's not mine. You know, people have to hit a bottom. And I could want all so much to help people. You've all heard the stories of people who had friends. You know, you found this wonderful miracle. You found this thing that has changed your life. And there's an innate part of people. It's a goodness part of people that want to turn around and spread it and yell it from the rooftops. But that doesn't work. In fact, and a lot of times it can actually work in reverse. And it's so hard to be to sit by, especially if it's a loved one, and know that they have to hit a bottom themselves. You know, I know when I work with sponsees, you know, the thing that's helped me a lot over the years is I'm a bit of a people pleaser, and I have to be careful of that with my sponsoring. And luckily, I went to another program. Al-Anon helped me a lot with that. I remember I'm carrying the message, not John's message. And as a result, I could be a lot more dispassionate about it and just say, well, you know, I'm looking at this, you know, and I'll try and work with sponsees. And in fact, I had a guy, he came from my men's AA meeting, and he came in, oh, wait, oh, I want you to sponsor me. I'm going to be so willing. I'm so willing. And I said, okay, well, I need you to do this. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. No, I can't. And I would just say, hey, you know, in that page 58 area where it talks about willing to go to any lengths, and I try to nicely point out that, gee, you know, what your actions aren't congruent with the person who's willing to go to any lengths and is doing that, you know. The other thing I'll say is I talk every day with a person in program who's very high profile, who's well known and leads lots of retreats, and we sort of are in the same boat on one thing, and that's that we have a lot of people who call us. And they are hoping, you know, we're going to give them the magic words. We're going to give them the magic answer. And I've seen this with people who I've sponsored over the years who dropped away. They were looking for a sponsor to do it for them. You know, they were looking for the right sponsor, the magic sponsor. That was going to be the key, you know. But they aren't looking for a sponsor. They're looking for the abstinence fairy. You know, they're looking for the abstinence fairy to ding them on the head with the wand, and it'll be magically transformed. They won't ever want to eat compulsively again. The voice of the food will be silenced forever. And most importantly, it'll come easily and without any actual effort. And I'm like, you know, I had to bust my butt off. You know, I know things are going well today, but I love that old thing about how the majestic swan glides through the water. But what the people don't see is how the feet are furiously, you know, plugging away under the surface, and that's what for a lot of us is. And so, you know, I have to remember I'm here just to carry a message and to point out things and say, well, you know, here's what Bill Cook says. None of this is me. I may reword things and
tell
me people. I'll wrap it up. But nothing I'm saying here isn't something that came out of the brains of those guys in Brooklyn in 1935. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John K. The line is now open if you'd like to share on what was read. And please say your name just once because it helps me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Ginger C.
B.
Aviva M.
Brandy.
Roz G.
Okay, if we can hang on just a second, I'll tell you who I have because I heard a couple of people at the same time. There was somebody, KB.
Donna D.
Donna D. Okay, hang on. But there was somebody, KB, I believe.
I think that was me, Donna B. I came in right on top of Ginger C.
Okay. All right, so I've got Aviva M., Brandy M., Roz G., Donna B., and Ginger C. Did I miss anybody?
Could you add Paula D.?
Okay, great. There's our lineup. Can I start with Aviva M., please, and then we'll move to Brandy M.? Aviva, it's your turn.
Thank you. Thanks, John, for your share and today's topic. My name is Aviva, and I'm a compulsive overeater from Los Angeles. I just wanted to share about my Eskimo and how he's still out. It's really painful because I went to a retreat with a man from Canada, Laurie, you know, the vision guy. And I came back and I was like, dude, you got to come back. You got to come back. You know, it was really inspiring and my abstinence and, you know, and how to work with people. And he literally was like, no, I'm not ready. Can't come back. And it was really painful. Like, I cried because it was like, you're my Eskimo, man. I wouldn't even be in this program without you. And I talked to him a lot, and I'm just, like, now, like, the message for him. Like, I don't tell him to go to meetings anymore. Like, I texted him one time, hey, go to a meeting. But I needed to, like, back off, and that was a very clear message. And even though I think he would benefit from the program, like John said, it's not my program, it's not my God, it's the program. And I do it at work all the time. Like, everyone at work does not understand that I have an eating disorder at all. And they're always offering me things. And I, you know, I talk about OA and people are like, yeah, thanks, got to go. And I drop it. But, like, a long time ago, I was like, no, you don't understand. And da-da-da-da-da. And because I was, like, getting better and I was seeing the recovery. And I was just thinking today, it was interesting. And, again, you guys know on the line I have all these issues at work. And it's like, you know, if I do something and I want her reaction, that's not going to work anymore. I'm seeing, like, for the first time, it's about who do I want to be in the long run? How can I be of service to other people? And believe me, I still obsess on her and I still pray for her, hoping she'll change. But it's the same thing. And she's talked to me in the past when we were friends about her sugar addiction. And I mentioned OA to her and she was like, no, I don't need that. So it's like, okay. And now I just pray for her and now I'm taking care of me with it because she's not going to change. So I just wanted to really share about that. So it's, like, really important to let people go and to just pray for them for me because I need to change me because I'm unhappy. Like, they're going to do what they got to do. He's going to be him, my Eskimo. But it's, like, I need to be Aviva and I need to grow and change because I don't like the way I'm living. and I like being of service sometimes. All right, thank you. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Aviva M. Brandy M., it's your turn, followed by Roz G. Press star one, Brandy.
Sorry, I was talking to myself. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Alberta, Canada. I can be heard, right?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I know when I first started out on this journey in the program of recovery, I had so much excitement and so much, you know, like I just wanted to go tell everyone and have everyone know what I'm doing because, you know, I felt like God had brought me the answer. And there's a lot of sick people in and out of our rooms. And so it was really important for me when I got to step 12 to carry the message. And I had some hard lessons to learn because not everyone's ready to hear the message. Not everyone's ready to do what I've done. I like to think of myself as like, you know, a bottom feeder, food eater. And so the stuff that I've had to do to recover is really a lot of work for a lot of people that are, say, brand new or, you know, not really in, like, you know, they're just kind of mainstream away. They just come to meetings and, you know, go home and don't really talk to people. That's it seems like a lot to them. And so I learned quite quickly that if I push what I'm doing on other people, you know, it can push them away. And so today I just share my experience, strength, and hope. I go to face-to-face meetings to be of service and to share the recovery that I've learned through the Big Book. And whether or not somebody wants it or not, I never push. I never, you know, I know people say like, oh, I'll be, you know, I'm going to be your sponsor and we're going to do this. But I don't do that anymore. You know, I let them know that I'm available if I am available. And if they want what I have, then they're going to ask me. I mean, they see me often enough. And, you know, when people ask me, you know, what have you done? What have you changed? You know, I do share that I'm in OA and, you know, a little bit of what I've done. But I really feel like people ask because they're interested. And so I let them come to me. I think that that's a God job. And, you know, I don't try and push or prod or, you know, make them want to do what I do. You know, and a lot of times I need to keep in mind that this way is not the way for everyone. And so, you know, a lot of people recover in different ways and that's okay. And I've accepted that where when I first started in the program of recovery in the book, I wanted everyone to do it this way. And I thought everyone should do it this way. And it's the only way that worked. And I've learned that that's just not true. And so grateful to be on the meeting this morning. I've been missing some of the meetings lately because I was on holidays. But grateful to be back, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandy M. Roz G., it's your turn, followed by Donna D.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you so much for your service. And this is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles County, and there's a couple, few angles that I can look at this. The first one is that It took a lot of humility for Dr. Jung to say, I don't have a solution for you, but I've heard that people, you know, get help with spiritual experience. I can't do this for you. And the other angle is that I come from a rescuing program, just like our, you know, the speaker said, Al-Anon, and I, you know, I have that cape. That mother, that superwoman cape, and that I want to save everybody. And the other angle is it takes a lot of humility for me to say, you know, I can't help you if you don't want what I have or you don't want what the Big Book asks us to do. Because I grew up, well, my mom used to kind of make me feel guilty about not doing certain things to help or to speak my truth. And so I grew up, you know, automatically feeling guilty about a lot of things. So when I say to someone, it's up to you, or I can't help you, it I feel like I've failed or I've done something wrong. It, you know, me, myself, and I. And I've had to learn that it's not that way, that they have a higher power and it's not me. So it's even still sometimes it's I feel kind of guilty about letting somebody go, but the more I hear, the more I identify with people who do the same thing, the better I feel about it, and that I know that it's only leading to their good. Let me tell you, I've had to get a lot of ego reduction at length for me to be able to accept the spiritual principles in this book. I'm eternally grateful. And if you want what I have, I guess you're going to have to get a lot of humility. And, you know, that makes me feel as though I've earned my chair. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Donna D., it's your turn, followed by Ginger C.
Hi, this is Donna B., as in boy, calling in from Denver, Colorado. These paragraphs remind me of the sex ideal, which I've learned that can also be just considered a relationship ideal. And often when I'm working with others, I go back to the sentence, it really helps me a lot. We earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity and for the strength to do the right thing. I too can have a tendency to really focus on wanting the person that I'm working with to like me. And that's definitely not the intention or the purpose of working with others. It says here that I should be friendly, but that doesn't mean that I should make the person or attempt to make the person my best friend. And I just let it go at that. And so that prayer that we learn in step 4 about asking God for the right ideal and for guidance. And I would say that with every single person I've ever worked with, it is a questionable situation. I really don't know how to help others. I don't know how to solve anybody else's problems. I don't know how to be what that person would want me to be. I really need to pray for my higher power to give me direction on what the ideal is for me in what I say and how I act. And I need God's strength to do the right thing. Of my own power, I just can't work with other people in this level of intimacy. It very quickly turns into a family kind of dynamic. And I cannot apply what I learned in my family to my relationships with others in working this program. So I need a lot of guidance from my higher power, as well as from my own sponsor and from my tribe of fellows who are sponsoring. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Ginger C., it's your turn, followed by Carla D.
Yes, hi, good morning, moderator. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and thank you for your service. And thank God for these clear-cut directions, because this is not about me, and I have precise instructions. You know, if they're not ready, leave them alone, let them go. And I do this for two reasons. You know, it says in that one sentence, this he may do after he gets hurt some more. You know, what's the one thing that has convinced each and every one of us? It's those beautiful bites that we had to eat. And thank God for every beautiful bite, because one less bite and I may not be here today sharing recovery. I had to concede to my innermost self, and the only way I got there was from the food. And I'm just so grateful for my husband that he didn't intercede, and he allowed me just to eat, even though he watched his wife dying in front of him. so it's the greatest gift that you can do, and it's a detriment to not let them. And to think that you can be a life coach or possibly convince them. Let the food do the job. And then most importantly, too, you may be denying someone that's right here in front of you that's ready to go. That's like, yes, ma'am, whatever you say, I'll do. If you tell me to jump to the moon, I'd try to jump there. You know, I had someone recently that was saying, yes, but they're not ready. So I love these directions, and I love the ending, too. I don't know how you're going to find God, but I do know as an addict, you lack power and you need to find something that's powerful, more powerful than you. And as long as it's not you, you're good to go. So that last paragraph, we have no monopoly on God. I know the big book works for me. It may not work for you. OA literature may work for you. And I just want you to find freedom from this nightmare that you're in. So again, we have no monopoly. And sometimes I hear people get really ugly with this attitude that this is the only way. Who are you to say that this is the only way? Are you God? And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. And would it be Paula D. I'm looking for?
That would be Paula D.
Yay. Okay, Paula, it's your turn. Thank you.
And thank you. Isn't it nice? No one is going to say, gee, I wonder if that's Paula. And look at that, all taken care of. My name is Paula Dean, recovered by and with the grace of God, currently in the state of New Hampshire. You know, as I was listening to the shares, and I was, of course, thinking, that thinking doesn't stop much. Line is a little bit congested here. I'm not quite sure if it's my phone. I don't know. But anyway, I will go on. It started with, he's not interested in your solution. You know, a flower blooms at its own pace. You can sit there and plant the seed, and you can wait and wait and wait. And it may take weeks, it may take months. You may not see the seed grow. There was a plant in Japan, and it takes, and you can do it. They take care of it, they fertilize it, but it takes 20 years, but then it grows. 20 years. And then it grows. It grows within a month. It grows like 7 feet. I want to go backwards, so I have no idea about growth. But I'm going to scoot on down here. After doing that, he must decide for himself. This is not a decision I make. My decision was to be there for them and with them. And as was so beautifully said, to carry the message. It says for himself whether he wants to go on. If they don't want to go on, and it says so clearly, you can push, you can prod. They're not going to move. They're like the stubborn two-year-old. Unless they're picked up, and they must be picked up by God himself. He should not be pushed or prodded again, it says. His wife or his friends. How about his mother? How about his mother? How about the sister? We are in a family here. We are in biological families. And you know, and when my child calls, and they're so sincere. I want to go to a meeting, cross-addicted. I want to go to a meeting. And then they don't call the next day. But look, move on with me. If she or he is to find God, the desire must come from within. Not from a mother, a friend, a sponsor. It must come from within. And then it goes on, and I'm going to be mindful of the time. And by the way, I am 73. I am very mindful of the time. More so than I thought. We have no monopoly in God. We merely have an approach. I got to tell you, on a plane, I love riding. I love going in planes. You know what I love? I love the takeoff, and I love the landing. When you hear the connection, something connects. You remember when the ties, you hear them drop down. The wheels are dropping down. And then you feel the sensation of, it's touched ground. I've landed. That is my prayer for those that are still flying and many in circles, circling and circling. But it says here, but point out that we alcoholics have much in common, that all you would like in any case. Look at this, even family members, to be friendly. Let it go. I'm going to stop there. Let it go at that. There is somebody tapping on the phone. I don't know exactly what's going on, but you know what? I'm going to let it go with that. Thank you again for allowing me the time. With that, I do pass.
Thank you, Paula D. For those of us who came on the line maybe a little bit late, we're on page 95, the second paragraph. If he is not interested in your solution, we're reading three paragraphs, ending with let it go at that and commenting on all three paragraphs. Who would like to share?
Gina R.
Robin P. in Los Angeles.
Sherry K. B.
Julie E. B.
Okay, let me tell you what. Who was that at the end?
No, O'Ray D.
Could you spell your first name, please, sir?
Just Ray.
Ray, okay.
And
okay, okay, let's stop there, please. I have Gina R., Robin P., Sherry K.B., Julie E.B., Ray B., and Anna Marie. Can we start with Gina R.?
Good morning. Thank you so much. Yes, this is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. I live in Green Valley, Arizona. To me, what these paragraphs summarize is actually something that I remember seeing in the rooms of OA early on, and that was the Dignity of Choice pamphlet that actually outlined different food plan options. And while that in and of itself really never worked for me, that concept with respect to how these steps work is very instrumental, not only for me, but when I'm working with people. When I'm talking with somebody who is ambivalent, my old self really did feel like I had a need to prove. I needed to prove that what was happening in and through me was real. And I would be painstaking about, you know, going through this litany of all of this stuff. And that is not what happens for me anymore. It really is attraction. People see the fruit in my life, and they are attracted to that. And so all I need to do now is ask more open-ended questions to them about why they're interested in this solution. So that's that very first sentence. If this person is not interested in your solution, you may have to drop him. So I really do put it in the context of, look, I am not here to convince you. Only the food and your pain can convince you. But you have the dignity of choice in deciding whether or not you want this. And then it talks about desire. And I was looking up the definition of desire, and it states to wish or long for, crave, want, to express a wish to obtain, ask for, request, a longing or a craving. Well, that's what the food did. And so when that becomes sufficiently stronger than my thinking the food is going to do the trick, then I or anybody else is going to be there. So glad that I was able to let the food beat me into a state of reasonableness, and that I had the ears to hear and the heart to receive, and the mind to take the action so that my higher power could perform a miracle in me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. Sherry K.B., it's your turn, followed by Julie E.B.
Hi, that wasn't Robin P. I'm Robin P.
Sorry. Thank you, Gina R. Robin P., it's your turn, followed by Sherry K.B.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thanks so much, and thanks, Lynette. Thanks for moderating and for all the shares. And I've sponsored and been sponsored, and I've sponsored, you know, several people over the past 3 years. And I just know every time I think, you know, oh, great, you know, it's really not about me.
It's always about what I can share, and just being a vessel for God. You know, it's attraction, not promotion. And sometimes I'll think, oh, this person really, really, they hit bottom, and nope, you know, or they're really willing to go in any lengths, nope. And then sometimes I'll think, oh, gosh, I don't know. And the person is completely willing to go to any lengths, you know, to work the steps and then to go sponsor people. And it's not, I'm not God, you know, I'm just an instrument. And it's really helpful for me to just stay out of the way and literally just be a channel of peace. And, you know, just remember attraction, not promotion. And I might not be the right sponsor for everybody too, you know. And the thing that helped me so much was the grace of hitting bottom, you know. And it's sometimes I've just prayed for people, oh, my gosh, please, God, let them hit bottom. Because if someone, my experience is, if someone hasn't hit bottom yet, they just aren't willing. And it takes honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to recover. That's how we recover. And to do that, I have to be done. And thinking that, oh, well, this, well, maybe this will, I don't really want to have to do that, you know. And to come out of that disease of isolation, it takes willingness to pick up the phone instead of the food. And it takes, you know, the gift of desperation. And I think that, you know, everyone has their own higher power, and I'm not them. And, you know, I've gotten codependent sometimes with sponsees where I'm trying to do it for them, and it's never worked. It only works when they're in charge of their own willingness and with their higher power. And, you know, my sponsor asked me, are you desperate enough to go to any lengths to recover? And I said, yes. And that's what I ask people now. Are you willing, are you desperate enough to go to any lengths? Do you have that gift of desperation? And, you know, that means they pick up the phone instead of the food. It means, you know, sharing, and it means going through the steps. And then it means sponsoring other people once you've gone through the steps. Because I think that you cannot keep what you don't give away. That's been my experience. So with that, I pass. Thanks so much for letting me share. God bless everybody in your recovery.
Thank you, Robin P. Sherry KB, it's your turn, followed by Julie EB.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Lynn, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. You know, I love this book because it's giving me precise directions on how, like working with others, how to do that. The first thing I have written on my page is, I will take you through the steps, but I won't drag you through them. I need the protege as much as they need me. However, I only take them through in a certain way. I follow the directions in this book, and I lay it out at their feet. I tell them how I do it. And, you know, I might not be a fit for everybody, but I know this is how it was done for me, and this is how I do it with others. And, you know, I just was told a long time ago, I can't want it more for you than you want it for yourself. And so I can take them through and show them what to do and give them directions, but I'm not responsible for their recovery. I'm only responsible for guiding them through this book, guiding them in the steps, helping them get unblocked so they can connect with their higher power. And as it said here, there is no monopoly on God. We have no monopoly. And so I, you know, there's always different approaches, but I just know what I've done that works for me, and that's all I can hand somebody is what I've been able to do for myself through these steps and through being guided. And I don't want to waste my time because I want, as it said, there are other people out here that really want it. And so I want to work with people who want it. And that's really important. And by the time I go through with somebody, you know, they're wanting to work with others. And that's the idea of it, too, is that to keep the chain going. Because I was told there's a lot of people in the water and we got to get them in the boat. And so I only want to work with people that want this. I have had experiences of, you know, I carry the message, not the mess, and so I can't code these people. I can't be their banker. I can't be their therapist. I can't be, you know, their nurse. I can't be any of those things. All I am is a step guide that I can take them through and show them how I did it and what works for me and how it worked for me, and to help them get unblocked. And that's my job, and that's it. And it's a great ride if you just walk in the door and get a step guide or a big book sponsor, whatever you want to say. And, you know, I know it's important for me to be of service because that's what helps me stay recovered, and I need them as much as they need me. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Julie EB, it's your turn, and O'Ray B, you'll be next.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered one day at a time in Colorado. And, wow, this section is just such a blessing to me today. And I think about what it was like to be in the food and really feeling like I wanted a solution, but I couldn't do it right. I couldn't do it perfectly. You know, that's true even for working with others. You know, I can't do it right. I can't do it perfectly. I just need to do the next step and pray that God would give me everything I need to take that next action or step. You know, I have someone that I love struggling at a bit of a tipping point with this illness, and still all I have is what my recovery has shown me, that there is a God who wants to care for me and protect me, but I couldn't see it. And I don't have to call it God. I just have to know the way I'm doing it isn't working. But if someone else isn't interested, and what worked for me doesn't work for them, then I can let that go. I might be able to hurt them by just being a banker for their difficulties or a nurse for their sprees. And that's very painful. You know, this they might do after they get hurt some more. I thought I was supposed to protect the whole world and keep the world from being hurt. And in trying to do that, misguided, and not being God, I hurt people more. And so I've looked at the exact nature of those wrongs, and as my living amends, I just get to walk people along this road and get to witness and share with them, hopefully encourage them with my experience, strength, and hope that there is recovery. Because as they decide for themselves, each decision and each action that I take and that they take is one step away from this disease and one step towards the solution, as long as we keep moving. So I hope that if you're still suffering, you'll keep just moving up the down escalator. Thank you for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you, Julie E.B. O'Ray B., it's your turn, followed by Anna Marie. Press star 1, O'Ray.
Can I be heard?
Yes, now. Thank you.
Nice. So, yeah, when I read this this passage, man, it's so much love in this passage for me because it's humbling when I think about how much pain it took for me to get back on track and get this brand of recovery that I have today. And like, I'm a firm believer in the magic of this. Like, I didn't create this experience. There was a lot, you know, there was a lot of eating that took place, and there was a lot of pain. And that miracle happened for me, and that miracle got me back. And, you know, it's like, I see a lot of people struggle in our face-to-face meetings here. And it's just like, it really is painful to see him go through that experience. And it's also humbling knowing that, you know, no amount of, cleverly saying this or presenting this in a certain way is going to win them or make that change in them. Just like, you know, nobody could say anything to me when I was in that pit. The magic happened. And you know what? All I can do is be there for people. All I can do is share my experience. And that's all I can do. It's just like I have to know my role. And I have to pray. You know, I have to pray for that person and hope that they have that experience that I had that got me back. And, you know, like thinking about my experience and really connecting with that is what humbles me when I get on my crusade to win people over, or, you know, when I get into that thinking like, oh, I have the right way or I know the right way. No, it's like, no, you don't. You know, it's just like I'm reminded quickly that, you know what, I didn't create this for me. And it was God. It was something bigger than me that pulled me out of that pit. And I can't deny somebody their own experience, you know, and that's something that I respect about my sponsor. Like, he truly does practice that, you know, that he does have the ability to let people have their experience and let people go in love. It's like, it's not, and not be an asshole about it. I think that's something that's really powerful for me too. It's just like, if somebody's not ready, I don't have to, you know, grind them up and spit them out and, you know, bludgeon them over the head. It's just like, you know what, hey, maybe you're not ready. And I can let them go with love. That's something that's pretty powerful for me too. It's like, you know, when people actually have the ability to say, you know, let people go in love and let them have their experience in love and not be judgmental or critical of that person. Because, you know, that's my natural tendency. Like, you know, that's the defects of character that come up in me. It's just like, you know, I want to be critical. I want to be judgmental. And I want to, you know, feel superior to that person because they're not ready. Like, no, you know, don't be an asshole. And that's kind of where I'm at, and that's how this passage speaks to me. So thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you, O'Ray B. And Anna Marie, it's your turn, and if you could give us the initial of your last name, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay, yeah, this is Anne Marie M.
Thank you.
Okay, hi, good morning. Anne Marie M., recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and gratefully abstinent. Oh, you know, if he's not interested, so many times people call and they say that they're interested. I think they're interested in the weight loss and not so much in doing all the work. And I have to figure that out, and sometimes it's very easy if they have excuses of why not to read. And I don't tell them to read the whole book when I sponsor. I suggest that they read the doctor's opinion and call me back when they're finished with it. And sometimes I never get a phone call back, and that's for sure they're not ready. Other times they call, and it's more about what's going on in their life and their struggles, relationships, and I can easily get swayed into that, but I need to always remember that I am here to only carry the message and to help get them to have a better contact with the higher power that they understand. And I can't always start with that higher power, because many times it will, like it says in the book, that's leading with the chin, you know, I need to just share my experience, and that is what has helped the most. And I know for me, as a sponsee, as somebody that struggled for many, many years, I've had many people just, you know, together we decided that we would continue on. You know, I've had, you know, a couple of sponsors say that, you know, you keep going back into the food. Do you think that you need another sponsor? And I think, oh, no, you're the best one. Everyone I have is, you're the best one. You know, I can't get through this without you. And hindsight, I can see where my dependence was. You know, my dependence was not on a higher power. It was on the sponsor that at that time. And so the last paragraph is so important. And I've seen so many people do well with other programs and not have to do a 12-step program in order to become recovered. And I know a couple that was in their church really helped them to blossom and to get them outside of themselves. So we don't have any monopoly, and I do encourage them. I mean, some people think that maybe Weight Watchers is the best, and, you know, I say, hey, that worked for me, but they couldn't. I couldn't stay abstinent with Weight Watchers or with any other kind of diet. So anyway, it's important to let them, like it's been said over and over again, let them hit their own bottom. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. And thank you to everyone who shared, and to Team Tuesday, Matt M., Susan R., John K., Sherry KB, and Robin P. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry KB please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.